Thank you very much. So I'm anxious to do that. Well, we've had a real problem with varmints. So I always travel with a rifle and 44 Magnum. I tell you what, you people here in Mississippi didn't appreciate me bringing that into the hotel last night. Didn't have a reason, didn't understand until I walked back and I saw all the slot machines. I didn't know gambling was legal here. I want to talk about the issues that affected the cow herd. As I said, I'm an old university professor, and I talk for 55 minutes whether I've got anything to say or not. And as I go through this, there is an exam that goes with this presentation, so you better pay attention, Joe Cassidy. I want to talk about this, and I want to set the stage here this morning for the North American beef industry and the tremendous opportunities that we think we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years. Is there any way I could have the lights maybe dimmed in this room, or is that too much difficulty, Brandy? One projection is that in the next 20 years, we think are going to be the best in the history of the beef industry because there's going to be more people, we're going to have more money, they're going to become more in the middle class, and they're going to want to buy more beef. Here's a good example of a correlation. The more money you make, the more meat you want to consume. In the United States, highest per capita salaries, highest meat consumption. Watch China come on in the next 10 to 15 years. So the more money you make, the more meat you want to eat. And here's a good example of that. I want you to think about this. If you're in the very low economic class in the world, your medium income is about $500 a year, and you spend about $19 a year on meat. But if we can move 3 billion people from that very low to the low or low middle income and say, let's go from $500 a year income to $4,000 a year income, our meat purchases are going to go from $19 to $240. There's the opportunity as we see that for the next 20 years, okay? Let's talk about the type of customer that we're going to look at. And my theme here is to produce high-quality beef for the world, high-quality beef for the world. Ask you the question, are we producing it for the right customer? And if you look at the Hispanic population in the United States, it's going to go from 16% to about 30%. Asians from 5 to 9%, African Americans from 14 to 15%. And what this means is that beef must work to maintain and broaden its appeal to all ethnic groups in the United States because we believe that culinary tastes will shift over the next 10 to 15 years. Okay? First question, Joe Cassidy. True or false? Americans out to celebrate their birthday are more likely to order beef as an entree.
True.
Let's see. Yeah, overall, 69% of consumers would order beef to celebrate their birthday, and 79% of men would do that. That's what I'm talking about. We have become a ground beef nation. My son-in-law drives me crazy. Give him an opportunity to order a New York strip versus a hamburger, and he'd buy a hamburger. He loves the high-quality hamburger restaurants in the country. Demand for beef has increased, but especially for ground beef. An interesting proportion of the carcass is being ground. 62% increase in the price of hamburger since 2009. Last year, $193 million spent on hamburgers, $155 million hot dogs consumed, and I was part of this, I'll admit it, 68 million cases of beer were purchased on July the 4th last year. Ask you this question. How many consumers say a ground beef burger tastes better than a ground turkey burger? Anybody want to guess? Absolutely right. 10 to 1 say they would much rather have a hamburger, beef hamburger, than they would a ground turkey burger. If you ask them, what would you like to see on the packaging, if you're in the grocery store and are going to buy the product, they'd say 60% want to know if the animal was given growth hormones. 42% want to know what medicine the animal was given during its lifetime. 34% want to know what the animal's living conditions were like, and 34% want to know where the animal was raised. Consumers want to get closer to you guys out in the country. Are you a vegetarian? Oh, I like this one. I quit eating meat when I realized it came from animals. Number two, I really cut back on meat consumption since I learned that the flavor in meat comes from the urine it is soaked in during processing. Sixth grade teacher in Arizona who was raised on a farm in Minnesota, Don Schiefelbein. Freedom to operate. I'm building a case for why there's opportunity in the beef business. If you talk about consumers, they're willing to pay a premium for stuff they really want, like iPhones and Starbucks. Through social media, consumers can organize rapidly around a cause. Thirdly, the customer is always right. But the customer is often not scientifically literate, interested in the truth, or really concerned about your well-being out there. Logic and science are not enough to change their minds. Somehow, we have got to continue to educate that consumer about beef cattle in this country. What's wrong with this picture? Is there a GMO strawberry produced in this country? No. And yet our advertising says the non-GMO strawberries. Okay? So, let's talk about the theme. How has the cow inventory changed in North America, and what were the causes of it? So how'd we get here? Where is it? How much rebuilding is needed, and how long is it going to take? Those are the questions that people at ranchers are asking about the cow business today. Well, here's what's happened. We've gone from about 40 million cows down to about 28 million cows. And the question is, how much rebuilding is it going to be? Is it going to go from 28 million to 34 million? Probably not, would be the guess. Probably going to end up somewhere in that 32 million head is what the rebuilding is going to look like by the year 2020, unless something terrible happens. One of my dear friends, Dr. Gary Brester at Montana State, went back and he put everything on $2,014 dollars and wanted to look at the price of calves over since 1910. And since 1910, there have been three spikes in the price of cattle, where calf prices have really gone up, and then they have declined rapidly after that. And the fourth one, 2014, I don't know what's going to happen just yet. So is it deja vu all over again? It will be, or it won't be, if demand is not influenced by disease. Cattle prices are going to remain strong, and we've seen these type of prices on three occasions. And that is 51, 1973, 1979, all years of low cattle numbers, followed by herd liquidation, and then the start of herd expansion. So you can see the peaks, and then you can see the valleys that happened those 3 years. In 1951, initiation of the Korean War, what caused it to go high and then low? Initiation of the Korean War, we were concerned about food safety following World War II, potential for a new world war. By 54, calf prices below the long run average of $1.39. They were $2.43, and then by 54, they had dropped to $1.39 using 2014 prices for calves. In 1973, and oh, I remember this, 1972 Russian grain deal, reductions in the Peruvian fish meal, declines in world production of other food and grains. The beef sector was expanding, but high prices were short-lived as demand declined, and by 75, prices had dropped from $2.40 to $95, and rebuilding, as we all know, peaked in 1975, and we've not seen those numbers since. In 79, here was an interesting one, there was a 20 million head decline in cattle inventory between 75 and 78. OPEC oil prices went up by, I think, four times. Rebuilding lasted only 2 years before liquidation occurred. So that's what happened. Let's take a look at what's gone on more recently from 2005 until 2014. What's happened in our numbers? Well, if you look at the numbers, and let's go to Texas, they lost about 25% of the cow inventory. New Mexico, 16%. If you look up at Minnesota, 14%. Okay? I want to draw your attention to all these red states here in the central part of the country, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois. I'm going to come back and say, why did their numbers decline like they did? And so ask this question, what were the reasons for it? And we think there are probably six reasons why our inventory is now about 28 million head of cattle. Drought, huge issue, the southern part of the country. High feed prices, high operating costs, age of the producer, this one's going to surprise you. Competition with crop production for better income, I mean, more money growing crops than I can cattle. And lastly, guys, we just couldn't believe what they're paying us for these cull cows or for calves, heifers and even bulls. We sold our calves for $3. We sold our calves this year for $3.17 a pound. My brother was stupid. He didn't know what to say after they wrote him the check for those calves. We'd never seen money like that before. Okay, let's talk about drought. Start with 2012, and I want to draw your attention to the southern part of the United States. 2012, ooh, the red is drought. 2013, 2014, in 2015, you've had 2 feet of rain in this part of the world. There is no more drought in the southern part of the United States. Our only drought is in California, and it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. Okay? Darrell Peel at Oklahoma State said, well, what were the causes of the decline? He said, we started in 82, and we dropped, then we expanded. And then we had liquidation. Oh, and then in the early 2000s, we had drought. And then we tried to build them up again, but then we got hit with the recession. And then on top of that, the drought hit us again. And so we really have lost lots of cow numbers due to drought. And so we saw pictures in the newspapers that said things like, New Mexico is the driest of the dry. California heads into the dry season already parched. Okay? And they are still in pretty serious conditions. New Mexico, where we ranch, is really dry. The soil is very dry. Where our part of the state, the western part, we've not gotten the rains that you've got here in Texas. And so 2015, things have changed. Now we've got all kinds of water. And you can see in the red part of the picture, that's soil moisture. And it's extremely dry in the southwest and through Canada. Through California and up into Oregon and Washington, okay? Interesting paper published about a month ago by Tyler Durden. He said the NASA scientist warns California has 1 year of water left. California has no contingency plan for a persistent drought, let alone a 20-plus year mega drought, except apparently staying in emergency mode and praying for rain is their contingency plan in California, okay? A mega drought, according to Cornell scientists, likely will occur late in this century, and it could last 30 years, according to a Cornell University study. 30-year drought. And we've been hearing about this for a couple of years. Let's talk about this drought, and I'll get off of this in a case. These are our cows in New Mexico where we had to haul water to them. Our conception rates in the drought, anybody want to guess what the conception rates are in a drought when the cows get to a body condition score of 3? 52% is our conception rate. Thank God my brother is an attorney in Houston to keep that ranch going. So we had two opportunities. Either find a way to keep the cows but lose equity, and that's what we decided to do, or sell the cows, preserve equity, and be precluded from participating in the golden era of cow production. Okay, we went with number one, and it's taken us 2 or 3 years to get the reproduction back up on the cows. So if you look at loss of cow numbers due to the drought, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico had significant reductions in cow numbers during those years, okay, up to 2014. Let me get off of that. Let me talk about some other issues. I want to talk about age of the rancher in the United States. About 690,000 ranchers. Under 25 years, not very many of them. 99 from 2007 to 2012, we've not had any change in ownership. 25 to 34 years of age, no change in ownership. 35 to 54, wow, we lost about 19% of those producers between 35 and 54 have dropped out of the business. And I don't know really the reason for that. I can suspect what some of the reasons would be. 55 to 64, 98%. 65 and above, 99%. So it's that 35 to 54 years of age have dropped out of the industry. Who owns the cows in America? Well, it's producers that are older than 55 own 64% of the cows are owned by producers older than 55 years of age. Okay? Who owns the property? Who owns the pastures? 65% of the pastures are owned by producers older than 55 years of age. My father is 92 years old, has ranched for 60 years, and he said maybe next year he'll turn the ranch over to me and my brother because we might be ready to go. I'm 65 years old, okay? And he thinks maybe one more year we'll have enough knowledge to be able to run the ranch. So what's been the result of this decline down to 28 million head of cattle? Prices go up, feed yards close, packing plants close. Weights go up on the cattle as well. What happens when cattle numbers go down? You see the use of increased implant programs, increased use of beta agonists. The industry transitions from selling live weight to carcass weight. And I got to tell you, I think we have got a young cow herd and we've got some really, really good cows out there in the industry. Okay, because we got rid of the older cows. Talk about the packing plants that have closed like Tyson, Cargill, National Beef, which is reopening again. Is there another one out there? Overcapacity, we believe, still remains in the industry in the packing plant. This is an interesting one here. I didn't really think about this, and that is competition for the land. Okay? This was first brought to me a year ago by Rick Funston from Nebraska, and he said returns per acre, corn, $120 an acre. This is a couple years ago, versus $8 an acre for cattle. Rick is a dear, dear friend of mine. It's not that I don't trust Rick, but I want to verify when Rick says something. So I went to Chris Ringwald in North Dakota. And he said wheat, corn, soybeans, and sunflowers average about $65 an acre in net return. You look at cow-calf, $16 an acre. So Rick is right. There was more money to be made in crop production than there was in cow-calf production. Darrell Peel once again said, what's happened is that the use of cropland for pasture declined by 64%. And one obvious reason for that is more profitable to raise crops than it was to raise cattle in the country. Okay? And so what we've seen is a decline, and this is not due to drought, is a decline in cow numbers from Iowa down to Kentucky to Tennessee to Minnesota have lost those cow numbers probably because of crops. And this is where I want to come back to you again and ask you a couple questions. Loss of pasture land in the red, and so Tennessee, 10%, Kentucky, 18%, Missouri, 11%, Minnesota, 31% loss of pasture land. And so if you think about that, what's going to happen to that land for raising cattle? To me, there's two obvious things I'd wonder about. Are we going to move the cattle west to, say, Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, or are we going to do something else with the cows? What might that be with the cows? Put them in confinement. Okay, instead of the cows going to the grass, bring the grass to the cows. I'd ask that question. It seems like we're hearing more and more about confinement feeding the cows. I know of one operation that's got 8,000 cows in confinement right now. Dave Weber. Excuse me. Bob Weber. I get you guys confused. True or false? Men will order steak to ensure their date doesn't think they're a wimp. Bob Weber.
True.
You're sure? You don't want to call a friend. You're sure that it's true. Actually, it is. Two-thirds of men say they would order a strip steak over a chicken breast or a pork chop to make sure their date doesn't think they're a wiener. Okay? High-quality beef, ladies and gentlemen. So what are the predictions? What are the predictions for the future, and where will the cow herd be concentrated? Where are we going with the cows in the United States? What do you do in times of prosperity? Troy Marshall. Our producer's going to go out and add 100 cows and invest $300,000 to do it? Or will they use that money to pay off debt, upgrade the tractor, and remodel the kitchen? I think they're paying off some debt, would be my guess, but they're also buying some heifers. And heifers, bred heifers, are a little expensive. If you're looking to the future, why would you be optimistic about the future? Because of supply and demand fundamentals say that it is time to rebuild. There is an increasing demand, international demand, for our product. Available feed and forage. The drought is over in much of the United States, and the forage is there, and the price of purchased feed has gone down. And so there's less volatility in input costs. Okay? Why would you be a little bit negative on going too fast to increase the cow herd size? Government regulations and oversight. We're concerned a little bit about water, the EPA and water on the eastern side of the country. We're concerned a little bit about BLM and Forest Service allowing us to increase stocking rates in the western part of the United States. So we're just a little cautious. Increased input costs. I asked somebody, what's it cost to run a cow? Somebody said it's close to $700. Heck, I remember when it was $400, and I thought that was outrageous. Consumer demand. Our demand for the product is great. Consumption is continuing to decline, but our demand index is outstanding. Industry consolidation and concentration. And then, can I get credit availability, especially if I'm a younger producer, would be some of the negatives. Randy Block from Cattle Facts said, the beef cow herd must expand in the next 1 to 4 years. And if we don't expand, don't kid yourself, we'll have a smaller industry and move beef from the center of the plate to more of a specialty item. Wow. I trust Randy. That's a pretty sobering kind of prediction. We've got to expand. Daryl Peel, once again, said that if the beef cow herd expansion does start in 2014, which it did, it will likely take until 2017 for us to recover to the drought liquidation levels of 2011, to the 28 million. Okay? Take till 2017. I've heard him say that his predictions are things are going to look good until 2020. We'll see if he's right. Okay? Chandler Keyes worked at NCBA, now a lobbyist in D.C. He wrote an article a year ago. He says the industry's future is positive, but it's still a little bit partly cloudy. And he says that for a couple of reasons. Who is expanding the cow herd? And that's what he's trying to get at. Which rancher is going out there and buying those heifers? Because he said 70% of our beef now comes from 30% of our producers. 70% of the beef is now produced by 30% of the producers in the country. Wow. Think about the other 70% of our producers. Okay? And so he says two things. He says, number one, if you've got 200 mother cows, Chandler believes, I think you're going to be in the business and will try to find ways to expand. Okay? But if you've got less than 200 cows and you do it by yourself, I'm not so sure you're going to run out there and try to find pasture, buy cattle, and get a hired man. And labor is a huge issue in this business. This was in Beef Magazine, and it says Burke. The only Burke I know is Burke Tykert. And he wrote this editorial. He says, when I think about what it costs to rent pasture, I have to think we are either at or near our national carrying capacity. Wow, 28 million and we're at capacity? Unless some acreage moves from farm back to pasture, I don't see big changes in cow numbers unless it rains everywhere. It has rained everywhere, okay, except in California. So here's the present highlights. Where are the cows going? Think about this. We're going to try to rebuild cow numbers. Beef herd is expanding faster than expected. 70% of the growth is in the southern plains, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. We don't see a lot of drought liquidation of the cow herd in California, Oregon, even though conditions are still dry. There's a lack of expansion in the northern plains, and the reason is they didn't decline. They didn't decrease the cow numbers up in Montana. They stayed stable, so there wasn't any reason to increase. There's more beef replacement heifers going on in the southern plains. 66% is occurring in the southern plains. and the calf crop is higher than expected. Okay? So most of our growth is in the southern plains, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, replacing those cows from 2012 and 13. So what does the future look like? The cattle, I want you to remember this. I trust this guy, Pete Anderson. The cattle industry must produce big, high-value cattle to maximize revenue per unit. This is already well underway. Big, high-value cattle. The beef industry is going to facilitate this by exporting some of our premium product to the Pacific Rim and importing low-cost lean trimming for the grind market, for the hamburger market. So we're going to export some of our high quality. We're going to import some of the lean product. North America has got to get in, stay in, and dominate the world in high quality beef. And that's what you guys do. Okay? Exports are going to be a key to this market. No other country can do what we do well in North America. It's the best use of our resources to market grain through cattle. And it's a more profitable way to market grain is through cattle and to export it. Okay? So three issues to consider. And so let me give you one final example of what I mean. In my exams this morning, I've talked about why high-quality beef is so valuable to the consumer. In both of those questions, who have I asked their opinion of? Did you know that I... Who said that? I just heard that. Who did I ask their opinion of? I asked men their opinion. So obviously, who did I not ask their opinion? Did not ask a woman, Sally. So this young lady right here, I'm going to ask her a question. Final exam question. You've got to answer this for me. True or false? Women are less likely to think their date is a wiener if he orders steak. True or false? True. What? True? No. Now you're not sure. True. 60% of women say they are less likely to think their date is a wimp if he orders strip steak rather than chicken breast or pork chops. You got it right. Exactly. Guys, pay attention to what just happened right here when you go out on that date. I'll leave you with this thought. What's going to happen to us in the next 10 years? Cattle producers thrive on adversity, but sometimes we are ill-equipped to handle prosperity, and that's where we are right now. We are ill-equipped to handle prosperity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here this morning.